back, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
How perfect is that? The answer, totally perfect. Right, just moments ago, right before we go on the air, just out of nowhere, Christina just chirps in, and it is a chirp. Or pipes. Pipes up with, well, my mom used to work for Disney. It's completely and totally expected there on some level.
She did. She worked for Disney. Yes,
I have no doubt about it at all. I don't have...
It's a small world, is it?
Do you ever notice you go on that small world ride?
Well, that thing plays over and over again, and they're tearing your hair out.
Exactly. The small world ride bell curve, where you're like, well, this is kind of interesting, and, well, this is... Boy, I'm really tired of this song. Boy, I'm going to kill myself. Wait, no. I'm going to kill everybody else, too. You get them into that about 10 minutes into that ride. Yeah, and you are just looking around for any blunt object to wield against everybody in the seats with you and then turn it on yourself.
And then driving on the way home, you can hear it in your head and it's making stop.
Stop. Don't even start. What retarded song did I have stuck in my head this weekend? It was just...
Was it the Christina Aguilera song?
No, but that was the worst, man. Every time we play that for the How Chicks Think segment, I like the next 10 minutes, I'm walking around, I'm going to take a whiz, and I'm all... Just can't get rid of it. It's just there. All right, 3 minutes, 47 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December, the year of our Lord, 2002. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk, Connecticut, KOTK, in lovely, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is the Monday after Thanksgiving. We're live. Hope you had a satisfying and corn-packed... By the way, talking about having a corn-packed weekend, we're going to have a recap later on today.
Yes.
Can I just tell you, there's like more show today. I mean, it's like walking around with a... What are those things called?
Wheelbarrow.
That's exactly what it is. Way to go. See, there you go, Kreskin. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I do a lot of outside work.
Synchronicity is what that is. It's like walking around with that wheelbarrow full of hedge, clippings, trying to take it to the compost pile in the back. Little stuff keeps falling out the sides. It's just way too loaded. That's what today's show is. Today's show, a wheelbarrow full of entertainment clippings to be dumped on the compost pile of your brain. So we've got an Osama watch coming up today, penis watch, bush watch. Later on, yet another divisive top five today. The top five songs about a day of the week. That's coming up. Another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk, Richard Nunn from the WB, Harry Gantz from HBO's But the Sex is Good. These are the folks behind the series Taxicab Confessions, which is a great show, by the way. Harry Gantz is one of the creators of that. They're starting a new show called But the Sex is Good, and they're in, among other places, Portland, looking for people to be on the show. So you'll have a chance to talk to him and have a shot at getting on the show later today. So that's all coming up. Your phone calls and email is 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. This, however, is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
That I am, and this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. A dozen members of the Latino community met with Mayor Katz a little while ago, demanding Chief Croker resign, claiming the chief of the city of Bessish that it's okay to kill Latinos. Mayor Katz knows the chief isn't the brightest guy in the world, but didn't agree with the spin this time, and the leaders left City Hall disappointed.
We don't believe that communication took place in that meeting. We don't believe that the mayor understands clearly where the issues lie. And quite honestly, the issues are not about the officers. And we made that very clear in there. This is not about who did anything right or who did anything wrong. But it is about what kinds of actions we want to reward.
Well, but they're not... we talked about this last week. It's not like they gave... It's not like kill a Mexican, get a prize.
Right.
Or something.
That's what they're trying to put the spin on this on.
Yeah.
And of course, the mayor says, well, not this time. I mean, he does wrong things and has a record for it, but, I mean, he's not running around saying, let's kill Latinos, it's okay.
Well, that's why it's retarded to go and protest him. He does enough stuff that you could legitimately get annoyed about.
But this time it's crying wolf, really.
Yeah, without going and raising a fuss over something that's not even worth being complained about.
So they were sent on their way.
Right.
Time for the bushwatching.
He's the president in residence, he's kind of in charge, he's got the whole country saying, that's my bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame, when you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that thing? It's my bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my bush.
This is the greatest of all the watch themes, by the way. think so, too. Well, W signed the Defense Appropriations Bill for 2003 moments ago and once again took the opportunity to school Saddam.
We follow them wherever they run. They think they can run. They can't run far enough from the long arm of justice of the United States.
Yes, these folks don't live in respectable suburbs as we do.
This enemy lives like a parasite. They plot and shadows. They prey on failed states. And they ally themselves with outlaw regimes.
Why do all of his speeches sound like bad Queensryche lyrics? You know what I mean? Everything sounds like he ought to be on stage with Bruce Dickinson and Steve Harris somewhere, like screeching about the ride of Icarus or whatever.
Meanwhile, while Americans are collecting toys for tots, Saddam's people are collecting apparel for evildoers.
It has a long history of ties to terrorists.
That's the dumbest joke we've ever done.
I know. I couldn't resist that one, though.
All right.
Well, moving along here. A high-ranking federal official may be correct in an assessment of President Bush as a moron, that according to a group of Canadians. These are Canadian stupidity experts. Technically, a moron is someone who is stupid and looks normal.
Check.
Now, much of what was recently said about George Bush, well, it's intriguing about morons, the way they pass as just about anyone. Well, inside, they're still morons. Moron was added to the U.S. version of the IQ test to screen out people who looked intelligent but weren't. A moron is considered to have an IQ between 50 and 75.
Now, is that above or below? I used to have a whole breakout of the IQ thing and how it was moron and then there's imbecile. And imbecile is like below 65 or something. And I forget what below that is. There's something even below imbecile, and I think it actually is. It's like retarded, literally. It's like mentally enfeebled or something.
But this is the Canadian version. Anyway, one of Bush's top supporters claims he's not being conservative enough. Pat Robertson says W is playing politics by being soft on Islam.
The president does not want to be fighting all of Islam, and he didn't want to set this thing up as a holy war, and he was very wise. He's playing geopolitics. That's his call, and my call was it's wrong, and I think he's caused a great deal of consternation, especially among his base who know better.
I don't understand that whole quote. I never got what he's upset about.
Oh, well, Robertson says Islamic leaders are inciting violence.
People who are running the religious life of Saudi Arabia have said repeatedly in the biggest mosque in Saudi Arabia that the Jews are descendants of apes and pigs, and they have called on the destruction of every Jew in the world.
So he wants W to stand up and say something about that.
You know, but it seems like Pat Robertson finds endless excuses to mouth things about Jews, usually by putting them in the mouths of others.
Yeah.
And now Pat Robertson is the one who's obsessed with Jews, because every time that guy opens his mouth or something, it's talking about what somebody else is saying about Jews. The guy looks for any excuse he possibly can to utter these really vile anti-Semitic statements, usually by trying to shove them onto somebody else. It's like Billy Graham.
Yeah, remember him and Nixon?
Yeah, Billy Graham, where Nixon was talking about how he did, he felt like he had to pander to the Jews to stay in office, and Billy Graham said, oh, you can't trust those people. They're evil. I don't know what it is, man. I don't know where we got, like, you know, it's like Sam used to call them God's special education team. And that's totally what it is. I don't know where we... Like where we picked all the representatives of the Christian community. It's just embarrassing.
Well, Robertson repeats, Islam is not about love.
Muhammad was a warrior, and he told his followers to lead the jihads against the infidels. And we had an unremitting series of attacks against Christian strongholds in North Africa, Central Asia, and all the way into Europe. Any student of history knows that, so it's not a peaceful religion.
Right, Christian strongholds in Africa, which were placed there by Christians who went there bothering people who didn't want to be assaulted by Christians in the first place. So it's funny how that becomes it's a Christian stronghold when, of course, the country wasn't theirs and they only got it by going there and refusing to leave and slaughtering everybody who opposed them. Thus, ergo, Christian stronghold.
So Pat Robertson says W isn't being conservative enough. And then there are other conservatives like, this Republican who has remorse after backing the Patriot Act, only to find out it goes against his conservative beliefs on privacy and government interference in our life. He's Georgia Congressman Bill Barr.
There were changes made to the general criminal law procedures in this country that are not limited to terrorism or foreign intelligence surveillance cases. They give law enforcement tools to conduct black bag operations that have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. And that expansion of federal power is one of our concerns. If it were limited explicitly to terrorism cases or foreign intelligence cases, that would be one thing, but these go far beyond that.
Do these guys not read these things before they vote on them?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Or do they just sort of read like some sort of Reader's Digest condensed version of this before they cast the ballot? Because I could have...
Of course, they're like 30,000 page long things sometimes.
Please, I've never even seen the text of the thing and I could have told you this was going to happen. How could they...
Well, you're smarter than the average congressman.
Which is a sad state of affairs, by the way, because most of my knowledge is about the members of Menudo. So the fact that I got a better grasp on it, a better handle on this stuff than most of these guys, is just a sad commentary in the state of the country. We've never even seen all the legislation here, and we knew this was going to happen. And first of all, if Barr's whole claim is that it should be limited to people outside the country or known terrorist factions inside the country, we wouldn't need this new agency to do it anyway. We would just have the FBI and the CIA, which are chartered for internal and external surveillance, respectively. They'd be able to handle it all themselves. And plus... maybe I'm just talking into a vacuum here, but isn't it just sort of a given that any sort of advanced law enforcement properties on the part of the government are going to involve covert, i.e. illegal operations?
Well, like back in the days of Hoover.
Exactly.
We're moving that back in that direction.
I mean, it's just known that the government engages in all these covert and quasi unethical and illegal activities, and that's what they do. They're the government.
But here's another one. Then Barr says... he voted for Homeland Security, fine. But he takes issue with John Poindexter's proposed Total Information Awareness Program.
When you have, for example, the Defense Department without explicit congressional authorization moving forward to develop a massive data bank of information, commercial and other information on American citizens on whom there is no cause whatsoever to suspect that they have done anything wrong, simply to start developing so-called profiles, then I think some very important lines have been crossed.
And it should be noted, here's another thing, by the way, since we're keeping score, and lest people think that I just bash Republicans because I'm some sort of pinko lefty or whatever, it's just because I got a simple maxim, which is whoever's in charge gets made fun of.
Yeah.
You're not in charge, you don't get made fun of. It's like when you win a lottery and you have to fork over 40% of your taxes. With great reward comes responsibility and sacrifice. And part of the price of running the government is that I make fun of you. So, but here's the thing: is the next time somebody starts yammering at you about how the Republicans are for smaller government, which is a lie, by the way, which is a lie and has always been a lie. It has never been true. But the next time somebody starts to give you this dreck about how the Republicans are the ones for shrinking government, remind them that this is the biggest government expansion and overhaul in over 50 years, and the Republicans are the ones who are doing it. They're the ones responsible for it. It is a complete myth and a fallacy and an out-and-out falsehood that Republicans want smaller governments. Never been the case, not the case now.
That's today's Bush Watch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, "That's my Bush."
It's the best of all the Watch themes, man. We've never surpassed that one. It's right up there with the best overall theme that we've got is the Office Confidential theme. I think I'm saying for me now, the Office Confidential theme, hands down, the best piece of production we've done on the show. But as far as just Watches, noon hour stuff, it's all about that one right there. All right.
Well, G. Gordon Liddy is out promoting his new book entitled "When I Was a Kid, This Was a Free Country."
Excellent.
Although full of criticism over Bill Clinton's draft dodging, which is true, and we all know that, Crossfire's Paul Begala questioned Liddy's omission about W. and Cheney's absence of military service.
Bush never showed up for an entire year of his guard duty, and Dick Cheney, of course, famously told the Washington Post in 1989, and I quote, "I had other priorities in the 60s than military service." He got 5 draft deferments. Why not a word? Why you slam Bill Clinton, who clearly did not serve, and not a word about Bush and Cheney?
Well, what you say of Cheney is correct, but Bush was a fighter jock.
And he was AWOL for a year.
He flew the plane.
Yes, sir, he did. But for a year of his guard duty, he failed to show up. Now, does that trouble you as an American patriot? The general who he had to report to says, "I never saw him for a year"?
It would bother me.
Why do you leave it out of the book?
There's just no response. And not only that, but Bush, of course, refused to take his physical because he was sucking up cocaine like a Hoover for all of those years, too.
Oh, that Kissinger movie was good over the weekend.
Oh, man. Did you, anybody else see The Trials of Henry Kissinger?
I did.
Just the two of them. You got to see that. It's got the Christopher Hitchens. I almost picked up that Hitchens book this weekend, and
Haig calls him a sewer pipe sucker.
The last, yeah, they've got all these great interviews with Christopher Hitchens, though, talking about the various atrocities that Henry Kissinger was complicit in, rather. But they've got Haig shows up at it just looking like everybody's crusty old doddering grumpy grandfather. And he refers to Hitchens, as sucking a sewer pipe. And he just sucks on sewer pipes is what he does. Yeah. And then he just degenerates into like weird sort of wheezing noises. It's a great movie, though, man. By the end of it,
I think it's playing until Thursday. It's in the 21.
Oh, at the end of it, you're ready to hang Kissinger. You really are ready to like pull the lever on the gallows.
Well, maybe you don't have the right to remain silent after all. The Supreme Court, in its landmark Miranda opinion, rule that police must respect the rights of people who are held for questioning. Officers must warn them of their right to remain silent. But that widely known rule is about to be considered by the High Court in the case of a farm worker who was shot 5 times after after a brief encounter with police. Legal experts say the case has the potential to reshape the law governing everyday encounters with police and public. Oxnard, California police assert that the Miranda ruling does not include a constitutional right to be free of cohesive interrogation.
Well, what this is about, the Oxnard case about a guy who was shot 5 times by the cops, but somehow wasn't dead, was still alive, laying there, bleeding to death, and then the cops giving him the Harry Callahan. The cops, like, stepping on him, saying, like, come on, fess up. And the guy's like, hello, I'm... And the guy actually said at one point, he looked at the cop and he said, well, I'm gonna die here. And the cop said, the cop replied to him, since you're gonna die, why don't you just tell me what happened? And then the cop later followed him to the hospital, where the guy's been shot 5 times. The doctors are trying to save his life, and the cop's still in there working him over, trying to get him to talk. And so, but anyway, so the point of the government in this is that you don't have the right to remain silent, that you don't have the, and this is important to know, by the way, this is not some wacko conspiracy rag. This is the LA Times reporting this.
LA
Times. This is an actual court case right now, where the government is claiming that you, quote, do not have a constitutional right to be free from coercion to talk. That you don't have a right to be free from coercive testimony. And the Bush administration, it should be noted, has sided with the government in that case and has submitted a brief on it. So, stuff to be unnerved about.
Denzel Washington directed and stars as Antoine Fisher. A story about a sailor, Derek Luke, prone to violent outbursts. When the young man is sent to a naval psychiatrist, Washington, for help, he refuses at first to open up. The young man eventually breaks down and reveals his horrific childhood. Denzel talks about the initial script of Antoine Fisher he read and how the project eventually matured.
He's going through a lot. I mean, the first scripts I read, I was like, this is too much. You know, it never ends. So, we just had to pick and choose what parts we were going to tell. And, you know, it was a long process. I got on board in 1996 and off and on, you know, worked on the screenplay with him and acted out some of the scenes. I played every part, just about.
Is this a story of a troubled young man who shuts out the world until that one special teacher teaches him how to care again?
Yep, sure okay. is. I saw the trailer.
Just checking.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do this movie, Denzel?
I think it's him.
Huh?
You know, I mean, it was, a long process. I wasn't convinced I was even going to do it. But I started to enjoy the development process. And then I got to know him, and he's such a wonderful person. And then I backed myself in the corner. I couldn't get out.
All right. I don't. You know what teachers hate, by the way? Teachers hate movies about super teachers. Eddie, you talk to any teacher you know, any teacher in your family, any teacher in your circle of friends, and just mention the words like Michelle Pfeiffer or Lean on Me to them, and they just start to get this. They just start to roll their eyes at you, and they start making this low retching sound. And there's just nothing more repellent than this this insistent recycling of Hollywood ideas, and the fact that they're doing this. It's like that new Kevin Kline movie. What is that new Kevin Kline film that's the Dead Poets Society, which they even say in the review for the new Kevin Kline movie where he's, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. He's an unconventional teacher at a prep school for, you know, for white boys in New England.
It's like the Emperor's Club or
yeah, but it's like, but,
something. But it's Dead Poets Society.
Yeah,
it's
but
a
it's,
remake.
You know, John Phillips from ABC News says, not just another Dead Poets Society. Like, they even allude to
it
in the commercial.
The same in the school.
It's exactly
the
same
movie.
You know, it's a bunch of, like, rich white kids wearing jackets with crests on them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Being taught how to think by a teacher who plays fast and loose with the rules. They're the
Reminds Tim of his younger days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Anyway, someday those kids are going to be in radio.
1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. They were the kids everyone had given up on until one extraordinary teacher showed them the magic that lie within.
Yeah, whatever you say.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Monday. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
When your back is to the wall, when there's no one else to trust.
Can I tell you that I did that all weekend?
In a world, you were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it sticks with you.
My family, what was that?
It sticks with you.
Oh,
it just sticks inside your head.
And it just comes up at the most opportune times. It just seems to come up in conversation regularly where that is needed. You
no,
know
and
me?
I just, well, and I just started doing it at times where it doesn't make any sense. Like, Laura and I were at the pet
the
store yesterday. We're
yeah.
looking for some hedgehog food. So we're at the pet store, and we were walking by a cage that looked like it was empty. And Laura was kind of peering inside and then realized, and she kind of said, surprisingly, she goes, a turtle. And I, you know, and immediately I'm on the edge of space. A robot turtle on the edge.
That's
I
funny.
Don't even know why. Here's Christina with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, some of them anyway. Because there was two, because Matt brought a big thing of rolls.
We ate most of Matt's.
Now, are those rolls from scratch?
Those are absolutely, totally from scratch.
Really?
My mother's recipe.
See, they didn't seem from scratch. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, they were so uniformly shaped and everything. They seemed
actually,
like they had to be.
They look like little, almost like little, like piglet tails.
Yeah, they really do.
My mom calls them piglet rolls. She ties every one of those by hand.
Yeah, that's freaky.
It really is.
That's kind of OCD stuff there.
It's a little out there.
If you didn't hear the Thanksgiving show, well, who am I kidding? Of course you didn't. If you like, you know, if you're the three
it was the
people,
best ever.
Yeah, seriously, if you're one of the four people who heard the great Thanksgiving show. Anyway, so we're going to be doing some highlights from that later on today. Also, another top five. We got the top five songs about a day of the week. Another edition of How Chicks Think. WB's Richard Nunn, who none of us will ever really look at in quite the same way after Thursday's Thanksgiving show when he is here.
Very, very true.
I don't know, like, really, if you can quantify the amount of chemicals that appeared to be in his body. And I don't know if it's cold medication or...
And was it a bachelor party the night before that he was at?
I don't know. Unless it was in Holland.
Yeah. It was something. He was still definitely yeah. intoxicated the next morning.
On his own little flaming pie. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250. And Eddie, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. It's our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. Jim Roop, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. Here's a pop culture quiz for you. To what famous musician am I referring when I talk about being on a flaming pie?
Paul McCartney.
Ah, very good. That's what I'm... See, nobody here would know this because I'm surrounded by fools.
Why would they not know? That's one of the last songs he's... Well, that's the last, I guess, original tune he's written, isn't it?
But what was the song about, though? When Paul McCartney said, I'm the man on the flaming pie, what was he talking about?
You know, I did know that because I read that, and it's on the CD jacket that I have.
He was talking about John Lennon, because somebody at one point in an interview, unless I'm wrong, and I don't think I am, somebody asked Lennon where they got the name The Beatles. And John Lennon said, well, it was suggested to us by a man in a flaming pie. And it was like, and I think that's where it came from. And
yeah,
that's why that,
you're right. I think
that.
You're right.
Yeah, baby, it's all me. Step
Absolutely.
Back. All right. So how
you
was,
are the king.
I really am. How was? I heard you talking to Matt about having your pants unbuttoned. What is,
just no.
Is that,
hey,
you
that how was my
that's
a
private conversation
cool.
off the air. Yeah. You just
that,
leave that alone.
Is that you just do that whenever you know you're going to be talking to Matt on the phone or something? You just. You prepare by loosening your pants and getting out a bottle of Visqueen or something? Or what are you talking about there?
No, you know, when you eat a big dinner, you unloosen your pants, make a little room there, and I just said, you know, I'm, you know, my pants are still unbuckled, so I'm still full from Thanksgiving.
Well, swell. Can I just tell you this, though, that we were having dinner at my house, myself, my girlfriend, a couple of friends were having dinner a few weeks ago, and I forget what we were even eating. I forget what it was. We had made food, I think. We had just eaten some insane amount of food. And then we had, like, this huge, speaking of pie, we had this huge, gigantic apple pie for dessert. And so we're all, you know, like, must continue to eat, must shovel more food, just shoving it in your mouth. And then we all kind of got that uncomfortable look on our face, like, oh, pressing against the, you know, my, you know, pants too small, stomach too big. And we all kind of had this thing where we agreed. Like, because I mentioned, I'm like, oh, my pants are way too tight. And this girl who was there, she's like, oh, I was going to say the same thing, but I didn't want to embarrass myself. And so we all agreed that we would all, like, loosen the top button on our pants, but we were never to speak of it again. Like, we could never, like, we could all do it together, but we would never tell anybody outside that we had all loosened our pants.
So what are you doing right at this moment?
Well, I'm keeping it anonymous, but I'm saying, but it was sort of like because we all loosened our pants, none of us were loosening our pants. You know what I mean? It was like we were all in there together, like a code of silence.
I hear you.
Yeah. Anyway, I read something this morning that got you. This isn't another Hot Wheels expedition they've got you at their expo, right?
These are the real cars. I mean, they're very cool.
And this is some hybrid car or something like that?
Yeah, it's an oxygen-fueled vehicle. It's what do they call this thing? It's an FCHV, fuel cell hybrid vehicle.
Can I ask you this at this point? Why do we need hybrid cars at this point? Can't we just, I mean, why isn't there a car that just runs on, like, the sun? Like, why do we need hybrid cars? Like, why do we still need gas?
Because I think it makes the car go faster and farther. I mean,
I think
a solar-powered car only goes, you know, right now so fast and so far. Well, I guess it'll go as long as there's sunlight, but I mean, I guess it only goes so fast. And these cars go at least 60 miles an hour. It can run about 180 miles on a tank of hydrogen, or if you want to call it a tank. You know, they got fuel cells in them.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a pretty cool, interesting concept. And right now, they're making the hydrogen by electrolyzing water, you know, sort of an electrolysis.
Interesting. The only electrolysis I know is when our coworker Clyde got his back done a few years ago. Hey, did you read this thing about a swarm of bees trapping people in a liquor store in L.A.?
No.
I'm reading this now to you from Reuters. Marauding bees held shoppers hostage inside an L.A. liquor store for 2 hours on Thanksgiving while engaging firefighters in a tense standoff, officials said Friday. A standoff by marauding bees.
Is that real?
Look, I swear to God, I'm reading it right here from CNN.com, from your company, my friend. The customers described themselves as being under siege. The fire department had to show up and soak the bees. It took 2 hours to get them to leave. The fire crew, quote, gave the bees one last soaking and then yelled at customers to make a run for it. Marauding bees.
You said they weren't shooting a film of some kind, Attack of the Killer Bees
this
again?
This is on CNN.com. And, you know, Michael Moore makes this point pretty brilliantly in the new film Bowling for Columbine. Did you ever notice that whenever white people are threatened by bees, it's always African bees? It's always like none of the European bees are very docile and civilized. The African bees, they're savage.
There would never be a Switzerland bee for sure. No Western European bee. I think you're right. It's always the Africanized killer bee.
I'll let you go tend to your pants.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there's CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1090. Chad in L.A. email says, Rick, this sounds more like Clyde Lewis today than Rick Emerson. F all the government talk. Let's have lesbian watch. Or even lesbians watching other lesbian watch. That's Chad in California. No, I just, somebody accused me. In fact, it was Bruce, our Obi-Wan Kenobi, as our listener Jen has dubbed him. That he was talking to me the other day. He said, I'm so lefty lately. And it's like, I don't think we want to weigh the show down on government talk, but he's like sitting there. You know what I mean? Like all this business of the Miranda warning. He's like sitting there, and you have to comment on it. So I'm trying to, because I was in such a bad mood like for the last 10 days, like up until like about last Tuesday or so. Last Tuesday, Wednesday, I finally started getting into a good mood. And so we're trying to keep it on the positive tip. We're trying to, which is difficult, by the way, given all the chaos and disorder that this show is constantly thrown into, giving Christina's business. And by the way, while we're talking about your little red wagon, so has your ass decided whether you're staying here through this?
Oh,
is the 6th this Friday?
The 6th is this Friday.
See, and you can't leave this Friday because, first of all, we don't have anybody to replace you yet, and I'm not going to have...
No, but wait.
I'm going to do the traffic.
Is that my fault, though? I mean,
everything is your fault.
Of course. Well, with the holidays, I told you my family was down in town, and we had just...
John was here,
well,
right?
John was here, yes. He hadn't, moved over there yet or whatever, but my family was there, and we just were totally busy, and I just didn't get it. I didn't get to ask him.
Somebody's rational. How long does it take to say I want to stay to the 13th?
Well,
and why does he care anyway?
Well, if he's moving to a new place, and he's actually already there, and he just,
there you go. He's already there. He's already adjusting to life without Christina. What's another week?
Well, it's that he wants me there. It's Christmas. He's by himself. He doesn't know anybody there.
Who's more important, John or me?
Well, do I really have to
I think you know the answer
question.
To that question. I think you know what the correct response is.
I hate to break it to you, Ben. She's moving to Ben, so that already kind of answered the question.
I'm just saying, what's another 7 days? You know, in the 7 days, the Lord created all of heaven and earth.
This is very true.
6 days, actually, when you think about it.
That's a long time.
I'm only... Okay, it's... Never mind. Why can't... Let's just get that... we'll get that Therese girl back. And that Therese girl didn't give any guff. And she was hot, too.
She was.
And she wore more revealing clothes than you ever wear.
Oh, which
is
definitely better, so.
So, see, there you go. See, you know what I'm saying? You're starting to think like an Emersonian already.
See, that's what scares me. Maybe that's why I'm running away.
Sweet Therese. That's what I'm talking about. Let's just all stop and remember Therese from. Remember that day when I was surrounded by people who were better? Remember that day when I had somebody here who was wearing a bustier? It's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Well, a little-known provision in a new federal education law is requiring high schools to hand over to military recruiters some key information about its juniors and seniors, name, address, and phone number. This is part of the No Child Left Behind law, which was signed last January. What's serious?
No Child Unrecruited.
Right. It pumps billions into education if you give military recruiters access to the names, addresses, and phone numbers of students at 22,000 schools. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld reminds high school administrators of the excellent educational opportunities the military affords, as well as the chance for strong character and leadership development skills.
Excellent. And plus the strong possibility you come back legless. Can I just tell you this, that the military was at OHSU a few weeks ago, because I guess OHSU is required to let them in because they're a state college. And so here's Laura, so she's all in her nursing class getting ready to make the heavy coin. And so the military showed up, and she brings home, she's like, you'll never guess what I got. Comes home with all that Army of One literature. And she said the best part of the whole thing was that the military were there trying to recruit all these nursing students to come in. And the military, couldn't come up with one reason why she should choose them over civilian service.
I heard there was a T-shirt involved.
No, so they couldn't come up with one reason why she should go into the military over the private sector. Because she's like, well, am I going to be making more money? And they're like, well, not as such, no. And she's like, well, okay, so the military's going to pay me less? Well, yeah, you're not going to make as much money per se. Well, okay, why, what else? And they're like, well, and you only have to do one physical, test a year. So, once a year, they're going to take her out in a field and make her do 50 push-ups or whatever to stay in. So not only do they pay her less, they make her do push-ups for the privilege of being paid less. So at the end of about 20 minutes, they all kind of went, yeah, but no. Thanks, but I'll pass.
It'd be kind of fun, though. Remember MASH? They had a great time.
Yes. And that should be their new recruiting poster. You can wear your bathrobe and drink gin all day.
Mo Rocker of The Daily Show is defending Michael Jackson, claiming his baby dangling episode shows how strong his family ties are.
You know, the statistics show that American families continue to break down, and yet Michael Jackson's baby trusts him enough to allow him to dangle him out a fourth floor window. And there's something, I think, kind of poignant about that.
I love me some Mo Rocker, man. He's like the greatest correspondent ever.
He wants to stop making fun of Michael's melted nose.
Michael Jackson has made a bold choice. So many people I know complain about their nose, and yet they're too lazy to do anything about it. All right? And my problem with criticism of the way he looks is I think it's tinged with a certain amount of prejudice. I think that Michael Jackson needs to be judged on the content of his character, not on the bleached mocha latte-like color of his skin.
And
Rocker compares the Berlin dangling incident to JFK's Bay of Pigs fiasco.
Michael Jackson's baby dangling incident is sort of his Bay of Pigs fiasco. Okay, and we know that, and we know that the Bay of Pigs was followed by the Cuban Missile Crisis triumph. So I'm excited. I'm actually looking forward to Michael Jackson's Cuban Missile Crisis.
Excellent. 1-800-727-5955. Mo Rocket could do all our on-location reporting for like her. All right, we got Chris, full-time listener in Portland. What do you got, man?
Hey, Rick, this is Polaroid Chris. I got a suggestion and a question.
Yes.
We can start out on a Christina watch and see whether she ends up working at 7-Eleven or Plaid after she moves.
Okay.
F Matt with A Small World.
Okay.
And so you got the hookup on the manufacturing of the Christmas CD, huh?
Oh, well, I got more. We've got an update on the Christmas CD that we'll get to in just a few. So remind me to bring that up when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
Looks like things are still clear throughout the city. The sunset looks like no problems to report to you. The Banfield looks clear as well, and no problems to inform you of out on I-5 or 205. As for the weather, today cloudy, but it may clear off later. Highs around 45 degrees.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080.
You know, the good news is...
Yes.
That Therese, being the dedicated listener she is, actually called in after you you said that.
That's right.
She's on her way down. She'll be sitting in today.
That's what I'm talking about. Really?
Really? I swear.
Like one?
She thinks she'd probably be here by about 1 o'clock. Yeah. She said she was leaving shortly.
There's a woman who knows how to treat her benefactor. I don't even pay her ass. She's gonna be here. I pay you, and you're not gonna be here.
You don't really pay me.
A little bit of dissonance there. We got this, Rick. I heard Thursday's Tofurky Day show, Richard Nunn from the WB was certainly three sheets to the wind. Wait, that means I have no life. No, actually, I was working. Hint, in the city that works. I miss Christina's sister on Friday. Doe. That's from Richard. Anybody see The Simpsons last night?
No.
I did.
I did not see The Simpsons.
I did.
Is it any good?
It was a flop.
Really?
Yeah.
Because last night's Futurama was yet another rerun. And now I'm confused about whether they've started the new season of Futurama
really
or not.
I think they have.
Because the Star Trek one 2 weeks ago was a rerun. That was the last season finale. And then last night was the Valentine's Day one. And so I guess they haven't started the new Futuramas yet. But I swear to God, they said they were going to do it in November. I have nothing.
And I have not seen the DVD available in stores. And I've looked for it.
No, it hasn't been released yet. I've been checking Amazon.
I thought that was supposed to be released in November as well.
Very confusing. But the Simpsons was a bust.
Yeah, it was a bust.
That's stupid. Here's Tim Riley. Time for the Penis Watch. Here's the Penis Watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away.
Da da da.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Da da da. Well, it seems that mountain biking has been found to harm the scrotum. Men who log 3,000 miles or more a year on their mountain bikes suffer scrotal damage that could reduce their fertility. This is according to a new British study. The report is based on the examinations of 40 scrotums, of bikers, and 35 non-cyclists. Scrotums. It suggests that men who spend the most time on their bike should invest in shock absorbers and suspension systems that could double the cost of the standard mountain bike.
I totally knew this was the case. It's like when they exhibited all that surprise that jogging was bad for your legs. You know, the thing about how jogging destroys the cartilage in your knees. Well, hello. And like slamming your leg and ergo subjecting your knee to shock, you know, like 80, 90 times a minute for 20 minutes at a stretch, of course it's going to be bad for your knees. Well, slamming your crotch down on a banana seat's not good for your boys. It's just not. Everybody knows that.
Well, they found that 88% of these bikers had cysts,
varicose veins and other abnormalities compared to 26% of the non-biking
varicose
public.
Varicose vein on your scrotum. Is there anything less pleasant than that?
Yeah.
Well, I guess cyst. Yeah. All right.
Sperm samples show that the extreme bikers had a count that was only a third of that of non-cyclists. So it says, we believe that extreme mountain biking results in a semen alteration, which may have an impact on fertility.
An impact on fertility. There's your penis watch for London.
Take a look at my impact seeker.
Oh, you know, if you're not trying to have a kid, that seems like an exciting way of birth control.
Exactly. But it's like they had that thing about how briefs decrease your sperm count or something. Fine with me.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court says it will decide a challenge to a Texas law that makes it a crime for gays and lesbians to have consensual sex in their own homes, agreeing to consider overruling a 1986 decision that upheld sodomy laws. The high court said it will hear an appeal by two men convicted of engaging in homosexual conduct. They argue the law violates constitutional privacy and equal protection rights, subjecting gays to criminal penalties while allowing different sex couples to engage in the same conduct.
You can't really talk about homosexuality the right way, especially if it's a certain way without. You've got to sound like you've got a big chew in your. Hold on. Hold on. You got to do Brando. You got to talk about homosexuals. That's how you got to do it. Especially if you're going to be from Atlanta. You know, homosexuals and homosexual conduct. Ah. All right, there you go.
Yeah, what's on TV tonight? CSI Miami, a group of forensic investigators, solves crimes in South Florida. What else is on? The Poseidon Adventure is on it. I haven't seen it. Wow, that movie's 30 years old.
It really is. It's still a great movie, though. Man, the Poseidon Adventure used to freak me out when I was a kid. I'd see it on, like, WTBS or something growing up, and it would just terrify me. Because I'm not, like, comfortable with the water anyway, and it was just a freaky film.
The Christmas Box is on tonight.
The Christmas Box by that... Was that guy Richard? Not Richard Dean Anderson.
That's insane.
That guy that he's the Christmas Box is one of those Bridges of Madison County books that beats one of those things that just inexplicably becomes a publishing phenomenon. It's one of those Insta books. The guy wrote it in like 3 hours. It's about 40 pages long. Just becomes some huge hit. He's put out 3 or 4 sequels to it. The guy's from Utah, by the way. That you in Utah you cannot get away from the Christmas Box because there's the Christmas Box, the Christmas Miracle, and then some other Christmas book that's a spin-off of it. Which they've made into 3 triacally made-for-television films that you should avoid at all cost.
Indiana Jones The Last Crusade's on tonight.
Ugh!
And on the Travel Channel, Red Light Amsterdam. Don't miss it.
Oh, speaking of which, I got email from that guy that was at the Cannabis Cup. Maybe and his emails were all really long. Like, the emails just went on and on without a point. And so...
Anyway...
Yeah. So, Sleece Techs are cool. Just like, it was like went nowhere. It was just rambling. Anyway. Okay, more coming up, including Therese. Am I right about that?
You really are. Calm down.
We got the top 5 songs written about a day of the week. Another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. And Richard Nunn for the WB coming up later on. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk and KOTK. Stay there.